Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Save up to $450 on a Gibson Les Paul Studio Deluxe, up to $900 on a Gibson Les Paul Trad Pro 4, or save up to 20% on other select Gibson guitars. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Wednesday to you. It's Wednesday, September the 27th. I got my man D, Devon Givens. Yo, the man, the radio guy. Devon is like, you know, my man's radio guy, so us newspaper people, we have like kind of like egos where we all think that we know everything. But I'm telling you, this is a brother that I go to and ask information of. So he's always coming on the show. I know I told you guys yesterday that I would have someone else on the show, like a special guest. I'm putting that on pause for a day. I got my man D with me, and so D, welcome to the show, bro.
Keith, good to be back, man. Good to be back. Another sixth of season, get ready to get underway in about a week.
A week. I know,
8 days,
right?
From the start of the preseason scheduled game, so I'm looking forward to it.
Man, yeah, and it's funny, like these guys are going to be globetrotting. Not really globetrotting, but like you think about it, you're going to play a preseason game in Long Island.
Yep.
And then after that, you got to fly to Kansas City for another preseason game. It's like, dang, man, like, you know, like Missouri, we're going to Missouri for a game. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. D, I want to talk to you about yesterday's first day of training camp.
Yep.
You know, to me, the biggest takeaway, and we both talked about this earlier, the biggest takeaway was Brett Brown coming out and saying our goal is to make the playoffs. And the reason why that's huge to me is we've heard that rhetoric before, but it was from the players.
Yes.
The young players. Man, it's like, you know, what's your impressions of Brown in that comment?
Well, like you said, when we spoke about this before we hopped on, it was basically what's the biggest takeaway from this? And you're right, it was the playoffs, because when Brett Brown said that he told the team that their goal is to make the playoffs, it kind of took me aback, because as you pointed out, so many times we've heard the playoffs, but it was from Markelle Fultz, Joel Embiid, these young players that really don't know what it means to make the playoffs and how hard it is. And you have the veterans like J.J. Redick and Amir Johnson coming in saying to the young players and saying to us, the assembled media, that it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. So for Brett Brown to come out and say it, now he did kind of couch it and come back and say you'd be basically doing a disservice to everyone by saying the goal is to make the playoffs, but you have to be careful when saying it, because how are you going to make the playoffs, and diving deeper into it. But right away, the first thing I took away from the first person we spoke to after watching the last few minutes of practice was the fact that Brett Brown laid out playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, he laid it out too.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, I mean, D, like again, this is going to be my fifth year on the beat. You know, you have been covering the Sixers longer than I have.
2008.
Dang, dude, what you, like 12? I mean, if y'all don't know D, man, D is one of those guys who look like he could still get carded and probably will get carded.
Yeah.
I mean, the brother has, like, as they say, aged well. So for him to say 2008, I'm pretty sure that when you walked in the building, they thought you were lost or something like
that. Yeah. It was that first time was funny. Yeah, absolutely. Even you say I'm 40 years old, and somebody the other day said, I thought you were 25. So I'll take it.
Yeah, I wish I could go back that way. But like, okay, so you've been here 2008 now. I know 2008, you know, they had some pretty, you know, they had
Elton Brand,
the whole
Andre
nine.
Andre Iguodala,
great, you know, great teams. But, and we've kind of expected it, but when we walked through the building today and walked in the practice facility, I know they got new Nike uniforms.
Sharp,
you know,
by the way.
Sharp. New Nike uniforms now. They got all the banners and everything up, and, you know, signage and everything. But I know they have new players. But the vibe, the practice vibe was completely different. Guys were making shots. Guys were hustling. Guys were dunking. I mean, it's a different team.
Yeah, the vibe is different. I'll even take it a step further. You talk about the dunking, the on-the-court action. When the PR guys, the great PR guys that they have, are bringing the players over, excuse me, how you guys doing?
Yeah,
all that. So again, the vibe is a little bit different from it was the past few seasons. You're 5 years now being on the beat. So this is, and when you talk about playoffs and you talk about these veterans already instilling their leadership into the locker room, letting these young players know, and it can't be ignored the fact that they've been here for a while. So yes, these are the first days of practice, of the NBA practice, but these are not the first days that these guys have been in the gym together.
Yeah.
The young guys being able to learn from these veteran players who can help them as they start to adjust to a new life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what these guys are doing. And again, you can just see it. Amir Johnson, I'm sitting there, I said to you immediately after he was done, man, I really like this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the way he speaks and the fun nature that he brings to it, but he also gives you well thought out answers to mm-hmm. the questions, and there's stuff to it. It's not mm-hmm. just fluff. So looking at how these guys are doing that, as you pointed out, the talent on the floor, you can see the bounce in their step. Maybe a lot of it had to do with the fact that it was day one of training camp as well. But again, you can just see the vibe is just totally different in the body language of them as players and young guys.
Exactly. And to, not to piggyback off what you said, but I got here earlier today. And you know, I was in the lobby, and I saw a member of the ownership group, and I pointed that out to him. I said, "Look, I said, you know, you guys have veterans, but all of them are great guys. Like they're all like great guys. They're not the type of veteran you bring in and you say, man, I wonder what he's going to do tonight. You know what I mean? These guys are well spoken. You know, they're just good guys." And he says, "You know what? With this young core that we have, you know, we thought that it would be good for their development. They can learn from these guys on the court, but also off the court." So, again, I'm not trying to steal from you, but basically that's what they're saying in the building. And that's the type of guy that they want out for. Now, look at Emeka Okafor. Like, you know, he may not make the team. He may just be a camp body. The guy hasn't played in 4 years. But the thing that stands out to me is I remember when he was at UConn, I'm reading Sports Illustrated, and he's telling his team, like his roommate comes in with a TV. And Emeka's like, "A TV? Nah, I don't watch TV. And here, I'm all about studying."
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This guy was like a straight to the books type of guy.
Yeah.
And all he did was like study, play basketball. Now again, we're not talking, they're not nerds, but they were focused individuals, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Jared Bayless, all these guys are like,
another
guy. Yeah, very impressive guys. So, you know, that's the thing that stood out. Now here, let's talk about Chris Humphries a little bit.
Sure.
So, again, Brett Brown was just throwing guys out there, doing different lineups. You know, they were just doing a lot of things to see what will work or how guys fit in certain situations. However, at the end of practice, Chris Humphrey was running the five with the first unit.
Yeah.
And again, it was 5-on-0, but at the same time, when you have a guy like him who's a role player, and then you have a J.J. Redick, a Markel Fultz, a Ben Simmons,
Covington.
Two of these guys are shooters. The other two guys are ball handlers. Hey, now you got a guy who can set picks, can do all the dirty work. I mean, again, he's no Joel Embiid. He's no, you know, like superstar. But for right now in the preseason, he seems to be a pretty good option.
And that's not necessarily saying that that's who they're going to go with, who
exactly.
Brett Brown is going to go with. But it was interesting because you noticed it, I noticed it, and I'm sure others did as well, that he was running with the other four perceived starters, the projected starters of J.J. Redick, Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz, and Robert Covington in place of Joel Embiid. And we know both Joel Embiid, Okafor were out and they can't participate in practice. And did not take part in the live 5-on-5 segments.
Mm-hmm.
So along same with Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot. So you mentioned Emeka Okafor, the same with Chris Humphries. These guys are not guaranteed a spot. The Sixers have a lot of bodies and a lot of guaranteed contracts. But it was interesting that, as you pointed out, somebody who can do the dirty work, the grunt work, like Chris Humphries has been known to do over the course of his, 13-year career, mm-hmm. that he was out there with the projected starters. And yeah. that's the kind of guy, if you are not going, I thought it was going to be Rashawn Holmes. And
I did too.
Not saying that it won't, but at least for today or yesterday, it was not. And that's something that we'll obviously monitor down the road, depending on whenever Joel Embiid comes back. Does Rashawn Holmes ultimately get in that starting spot? Brett Brown points out that it's not necessarily who starts. It's also about who finishes, potentially. And that is the case, which is why you always talk about Dario Saric being the sixth man, but playing starters minutes and also probably closing out games. So, yeah, it was interesting because, and I even take it back to when you talk about having a veteran like that on the floor and how important vets are for the young players, not to throw anybody from the former front office under the bus, but when you had Michael Carter-Williams and Nerlens Noel, it would have been great to have those vets in there. They didn't want them because they didn't want to take away those valuable roster spots so they can develop young players. But the learning that J.J. Redick and Chris Humphries can teach Ben Simmons and Markel Fultz while on the floor with them together and even on the bench when they're out of the game at the same time, it's imperative and it's necessary, especially when you're talking about a team that could really make some noise as a young team in this league.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know, Ben Simmons even said that. Like, he, you know, Ben Simmons is a guy, he's starting to get to know us, I think, and we're getting to know him. And, you know, last year he really didn't speak to us that much. But, you know, today he was great. Also, it was like when you mentioned to him about a veteran, Chris Humphries and J.J. Redick, his eyes kind of lit up.
Yes, they did.
You know what I mean? They kind of lit up like, yes, I got somebody that's going to help me through. Now, again, we all know that he wants to be the leader of this team, but at the same time, you know, he's still young and he still has to know, like, how to be an NBA player.
Highly,
you know what I mean?
Highly confident guy.
Yeah,
you can
confident.
Tell.
Yeah, yeah.
You can tell.
And I'm not mad at him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, see, like, a lot of people, some people talk about, like, I'm glad you talk about confidence, you know, this and that. You know, look at Kobe Bryant, a highly confident guy.
Big time.
You know what I mean? Look at, you know, Westbrook, a highly confident guy. Think about this, like, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, right? I was one of those guys, too. I'm like, man, you need to pass KD the ball, bro. Like, why are you thinking it's all about you? Nobody's came to the game to see you.
Mm-hmm.
MVP. Now, I know some people can argue, say, yeah, that's because KD left. Nah, all I know is this dude was a triple-double machine.
Top,
you know what I'm saying?
Player, yeah.
Top five player. So, again, you have to be confident. And it's going to rub people off initially. And then after a while, then they're like, okay, my man can play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he's the best in the world. So I don't really have a problem. But look, I need to pause for 1 second. And the reason why I want to pause is because I just want to let these people know that these tickets are selling out. You probably won't get a ticket unless you hurry up and call the Sixers ticket office. But if you can't get a sick ticket, I have an option for you. You need to do what I do. I go online, or I go on my phone, rather, and I go to my app. I have SeatGeek. That's how I get my family tickets. That's how I go to Pitt games. As you know, yeah, I graduated from Pitt. I know my team is sorry, but I still go to games when I can. So what you do is, you know, buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Fully guaranteed, y'all. Look, let me tell you, I didn't do it because, you know, I was home, but going to Georgia Tech, Pitt played Georgia Tech last week, you're going to laugh at this, D. Tickets was $2. $2 on SeatGeek. Now, I don't know if that says anything about my Pitt Panthers, but the tickets were $2. I'm serious, man. They were $2. So there's nothing like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. Now, all you got to do, y'all, is like, go down there, I mean, download the app, right? The SeatGeek app, and enter the promo code LONBA. That stands for Locked On NBA Today. That promo code will give you $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. So I'm telling y'all, don't waste your time. Listen to me. Maybe your team might be as bad as mine. You can watch them for $5. But I'm just keeping it real. Hey, man, it was $2 to get a ticket.
$2.
The $2 Pitt Panthers. But that's enough of that. So get some tickets. You could go see your Sixers. You know, I'm looking at tickets. They still have tickets available for their home opener in Washington. If you want to do that, you can come and see that's their season opener in Washington. Rather, the home opener will be 2 days later on the 20th against the Boston Celtics. So, you know, do that. Now, segueing back to the Sixers on court.
You won't get any $2 Sixers tickets.
Nah. Dude, they like $100. Well, they like $100.
Yeah, pretty
like,
expensive.
You won't get $2 tickets. Yeah. I mean, you'll get $20 off. You won't get a $2. Hey, can you imagine? To get back to that. So you get $20 off. So you would basically, they owe you money.
Yep.
They owe you money. You have an $18 credit.
Yeah. How about that?
I know, right? $18 credit.
Jeez.
So, I don't know, D. I just think today was a first day. Even now, Brett Brown, like before, you know, I'm not saying Brett Brown lacked confidence, but it just seemed like he had a little swagger today. Like, this is what they paid me for.
Sure.
I'm going to go watch a video. I'm going to see what these guys can do. You know, I'm going to come back, and I'm fired up to come back tomorrow. Because if you think about it, they have a great problem right now. Like, you have a Chris Humphries, a guy who I believe should make this team.
Mm.
I believe he should make this team.
Okay.
And he has a non-guaranteed deal, right? And what I'm saying is just because of he's a role player, right? And we say he can fit in. He'll do all the dirty work, right? But he has a non-guaranteed deal. So how do you make room for him?
Yeah. Yeah. You, when you look at the roster and you look at guys on the back end, let's just say – the Wildwood Cabarrots on the back end, Furkan Korkmaz as well. There's some guys that have these guaranteed contracts. Now, you have the two-way deals that we know right now. James Michael McAdoo was signed on a two-way deal. And I think that's it as far as the two-way deal. So who knows how it's going to go, but that's what the preseason is all about, Keith. That's what training camp is all about. 5 preseason games, the entire training camp, see how it works out for Chris Humphries. Maybe there is a role for him on this team. Maybe something happens with Jahlil Okafor and he moves on, and now they do have a roster spot where you can substitute Chris Humphries in that Jahlil Okafor role if need be. I don't know, but as it goes on, as time goes on with the training camp, and of course when preseason starts next Wednesday, we'll definitely get a good chance to see. He's made plenty of teams. While he may sign these one-year deals or these two-year deals, again, he's that hardworking, dirty work, grunt work kind of player that it would not surprise anyone, I don't think, if he made this team.
It wouldn't. And here's the thing. Like, me personally, I mean, let's keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
Ja doesn't want to be here. He says all the great things, all the nice things. The Sixers love him to death, but he's not a perfect fit for him. You know what I mean? Ja needs to go somewhere, and I said this over and over again, he needs to go somewhere and start his career, basically, reboot it.
Yeah.
You know, start and become the guy. The problem is that right now, he's not even doing 5-on-5. Like, they're saying he's doing stuff, but he ain't out there scrimmaging.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, you may have a tough time trading him. So, what happens? But I think that if they could trade him. They could trade him for a second round pick, or you could get somebody with an expiring contract. Let that take on that salary, release that guy, let him go wherever he wants,
mm-hmm.
and then Chris Humphries just slides in. And again, you know what? I know that Chris Humphries isn't like a long term option. Now, you know, Ja's going to play if his knee is healthy. He's going to play in this league longer than Chris. Well, now Chris played a lot of years, but what I mean is, you know, at this particular time. But, you know, it just seems to me that he is the perfect fit for this team right now, just because he'll do all the dirty work and he'll free up stuff for J.J. Redick.
Yeah, and you know the teams are allowed to keep 15 normally, and now they have the 17 with the two-way contracts in this league. And I just looked at the five guys that will be on the back end. Jacob Pullen, who's a camp body, the guard from Kansas State, Emeka Okafor, Chris Humphreys, and James Blackman Jr., James Michael McAdoo as well because of his two-year contract. But everyone else, when you look at it, it just simply seems that they're going to make this roster. Could Chris Humphreys take one of these spots potentially? I think he could potentially be it. And then again, if they only go the two-way route with James Michael McAdoo as being the 16th guy, then you might be looking at a situation where Chris Humphreys could possibly sneak in there and maybe be up here with the big club. I don't think he has any interest in the D-League.
You know, I don't think either. But you know what? If we're playing general manager and we're playing agent, right?
Yeah, sure.
So if I'm a general manager and I'm an agent and I have a meeting with Chris, and this might sound far-fetched to most people, but I say, hey, look, man, we're trying to get rid of Okafor, right? And if we can't get rid of Okafor, but we're definitely going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just take this two-way deal? We'll keep you up for these 40-something days. And then in November, December, he's gone or whatever. You know what I mean? He's gone. And then you get, you know, a full-fledged Sixer.
Right.
Now, if I'm looking at James Blackman, he's going to play for that D-League
Absolutely.
Team. Right?
Yep.
I think Jacob Pullen is going to play for their D-League team. And Emeka Okafor, some people may think it's crazy, but he'll probably play for the D-League team,
just to
too.
Get his feet back in the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know what? And he'll be grateful because he's saying, wow, they're helping me showcase myself. You know what I mean? People are going to go to these games and showcase themselves. I mean, we saw it. I mean, Elton Brand was in the gym watching practice,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, you know, I think that right there, I mean, all those scenarios that I just said could happen.
Yeah, they could. They definitely could. So that's going to be one of these guys that you definitely have to watch for. We want to see the development of the other 15 players that we already know or think we project out to be on the team. But you're right. Those back-end five guys on the camp bodies, I'm simply looking at it, and I'm like, yeah, I agree with you. I don't disagree. Chris Humphreys will try and definitely work his way onto this roster, and it only helps them if Okafor and Embiid are out due to their injuries. And again, they have not been able to participate in the live 5-on-5 segments. They are doing some stuff on the side with the player development coaches. And that's what they're going to continue to do until who knows. So every chance that Chris Humphreys gets, he'll have an opportunity to do so. And if he plays well in the games, you never know how it might go. You talk about the agents, one of the other teams in the league, the other –
Yeah.
29 teams might get a glimpse of him on the floor with the Sixers, and they decide they might want to get him, and his agent might say, hey, can you release my player so we can go sign on with this other squad? So he's definitely going to be a player to watch during this training camp preseason.
Really well. Hey, man, I think we had some great dialogue.
Always.
Yeah, always. Now, D, I know I keep asking you to say this over and over again, but I'm going to keep asking you to say it over and over again. How can people reach you?
Well, you can reach me at DevonG975, DevonG975 on Twitter. And you can catch me in many different time slots on the radio station 975 The Fanatic. And it's 975thefanatic.com. It's the FM station. And hey, we cover this. We're flagship station for the Philadelphia 76ers. So you'll definitely catch me around, catch my work there, and hopefully you enjoy it. Keith, thanks again as always, man. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. Hopefully my man gets me back on his radio show. I mean, that was like stealing money because it was so fun being up there.
Yeah.
We had my man Tom Moore on there. Even though he went to Syracuse, you know, he's still a great guy, you know. But hey, y'all, I want to thank y'all for listening, and I'll have a special guest with me tomorrow on Thursday. All right, y'all. Peace.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.